cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
You will change us, you challenge us. You permanently damage our ignorance, that you invade our hearts with the light that is in your word. Cause us, dear Father, to see ourselves as you see us in Christ Jesus, and fill us, dear Father, with revelation knowledge, to the praise and glory of your name. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may have your seats. God bless you real good. Thank you for celebrating your pastor. Matthew 21 and verse 12. Thank you for celebrating your pastor. It's a good thing to do as a church, to celebrate your pastors. Very, very important. The Bible teach that we should honor and celebrate our pastors. So it's a good thing that you have done. Hallelujah. Matthew 21 verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God. Notice, he went into where? I would like you to follow this. Follow this. Jesus went where? Into the temple of God. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out them that sold. The word sold here is the word for barter. It's the same word we saw in 1 Corinthians 10 where we read, whatsoever is sold in the marketplace. In the shambles. The word shambles is the word for marketplace. They sold in the marketplace. And it is understandable. Follow this now. For years, people don't understand what the action of Jesus was. The action of Jesus is that he says he cast out all them that sold and bought. So you see, there is a selling and there is a buying in the temple. Where were they selling? In the temple. Which temple?
Temple of God.
Temple of God. So he sold them out. He threw them out. And the money changer here are bankers. Bankers. He says, and the seat of them that sold doves. Why did he do that? Verse 13. He says, and it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So Jesus says, issue with them was not that buying and selling was wrong. The issue was that their buying and selling ought not to have taken place in the temple of God. There is a place where buying and selling takes place. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 25. There is a proper place for buying and selling. So we said in the first service that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, means that whatsoever is found or sold in the shambles. And 1 Corinthians 10:25, it says, whatsoever is sold in the shambles, he says, you should buy and eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Which means that there is a proper place for buying and selling. The church is not the place for buying and selling. Amen? Come on, church, are you following this? The church is not the proper place for buying and selling. In the church, we are not transactional. In the church, we are believers. Outside there, where buyers meet seller, is a marketplace. There's a proper place for marketing. And so we said that the earth is the Lord means God created the earth and gave it to mankind. The earth is the Lord means that men are a custodian of the earth. And therefore, the place where you exchange value for value, money for things, or value, as it may be, for other things, is called the marketplace. Okay? And the Bible talks about this, and it's different from the church. Follow this tonight. It's different from the church. And we also establish the fact that money is a creation of man. God didn't create money. God didn't make money. God didn't mint money. God doesn't have a printing press. God doesn't have a minting machine. Men make money. Men gave money names and put value on them. Number four now, rich or poor is not God's doing. Rich or poor is not God's doing. It is a dichotomy created by man. rich or poor is not God's doing. Being rich doesn't make you spiritual. That you are rich doesn't mean you are spiritual. That you are poor doesn't make you less spiritual. Are you listening? Being rich, you know, I told you 15 things, amen? Number four is that rich or poor is not God's doing. It's not the dichotomy between rich and poor is not God's doing. God didn't create some people rich and God didn't create some people poor. Now, there is a problem in Nigerian church that seem to think that the more spiritual you are, the more wealthy you become. It's not true. You can be a Christian, born again, spirit-filled, and yet you are poor. It has nothing to do with how, it has nothing to do with the fact that you are not spiritual. It doesn't mean you don't know how to pray. It doesn't mean you don't know how to fast. It doesn't mean you don't love God. And sometimes people are thinking, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness and every other thing shall be added unto you. No, that's not true. That scripture doesn't mean if I become a Christian and I'm doing the work of God, God will bless me. That's not true. Because you see, the person, see, listen, money is not the creation of man. Otherwise, people like Dangote, Mark Zuckerberg and the rest wouldn't have money. God would have channeled everything to you and I. Money responds to value. The richest people in this world are not Christians. They are businessmen. They are people who brought value to marketplace and sold. It could be an idea. It could be a thought. It could be, you know, a consultancy. It could be a solution. It could be even a problem. Some people are just, some people's businesses in cities like Abuja and Port Harcourt is connection. They know a Pastor Benga that knows Pastor David. Pastor David has money. Pastor Benga has land. And they connect them. They pay them 5% for that transaction. And that's all. That's what they do. There are people that no matter who you want to see in government, they can connect you to the person, but you must give them a percentage of the contract, whatever they give you. That's their work. Are you following what I'm saying? So, see, the fact is, rich or poor is not God's doing. God didn't create some people rich. God didn't create some people poor. Look at Revelation 3. Revelation 3 from verse 10. Because sometimes people think that, if I'm spiritual, I will be rich. You can be spiritual and be poor. Are you following this now? You can be spiritual and yet be poor. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 3, talk about a church in Macedonia that was poor out of their deep poverty. Romans 15, we see a church that was poor. James chapter 2, he says that if a brother who is in a vile raiment come into your assembly, so there is a brother, but he comes into your assembly with a vile raiment. A man can be born again but be poor because God's riches is his Holy Spirit. God's riches is not material things. You've got to change how you see yourself. You are not rich because materially in the world, a man can be rich. First Timothy 6, it says, warn them or charge them that be rich in this world. Every time the Bible talks about material riches, it divides or it shows what it's talking about. Because there's a riches in glory, is the Holy Spirit. Forgiveness is God's riches. Romans 2:4 talks about God's goodness, his riches. God's long suffering, his riches. Forbearing, his riches. Forgiveness of sin, Ephesians 1, Colossians 1:14, his riches. God's kindness to you is God's riches in you. God's spirit, Galatians 3, is his riches to you, verse 14. That the promise of the spirit, that's the riches of God for a believer. If you are born again, and you have received, that means you have received the Spirit. That means you are rich. As far as God is concerned, you are rich. You see, because thou hast kept my word and my patience, and I also keep thee from the hour of temptation, he says, which shall come upon all the world and try them that dwell upon the earth. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, it says, Revelation 3. But let me just quickly open that. So you can be rich in this world and poor before God because you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Verse 14, let's look at verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean, he says, write, this thing saith the Amen and the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, God says, that thou art neither cold nor hot. He says, I would that you were cold or hot. So this scripture, again, is not saying that you should be hot. No. God says, I want you to be either cold or hot. I prefer you to be cold, to be a stone-cold believer, or to be a stone-hot believer. Either ways, the extreme is good for me. What God does not want is lukewarm. Show you. Eh? You can be a Christian, but be cold. That cold doesn't mean less spiritual. That cold means that cold shows that there is no amulubola. You are cold, very firm, or you are hot. Both explain extreme. The in-between is what God does not want. Do you understand it? Eh? Uh-huh. So he says, I want you to be, if you want to be cold, be cold. If you want to be hot, but don't be lukewarm. He says, I will spill you out of my mouth. As God says, I will correct you by my word. He says, because thou sayest. Now this is the pastor of a church saying this. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knoweth not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is God's estimation of a pastor that is saying, look, he said, because to the angel of the church, that's to the pastor, to the leader of the church. He's saying, look, because we have this, you know, I have goods, I've increased, I have need of nothing. God says, no, as far as my estimation is concerned, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. So a man can have worldly things, but as far as God is concerned, he's wretched, he's poor, he's blind, he's miserable, and he's naked. Are you following this now? So rich or poor is not the disparity of God. A man can have material things and yet is not rich before God. However, being poor in the world is not God's doing. See, do you know, sometimes we preach that a man is poor because he's not engaging his mind. It's not true. The Bible never says that a man is poor because he's not engaging his mind. Do you know a man is not poor because it's not because of his mind? It's not because he's not applying his mind. Eh? See, James 2, look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2, a man is not poor because he's not using his mind. I will tell you the source of poverty now. James chapter 2, look at verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world? So he put it poor of this world. That's materially. Rich in faith. Can you see that now? A man can be poor in this world, but is rich in faith. He can be poor in this world, but is rich in faith. He says, and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him. He says, but you have despised the poor. That's not good. In a church, we don't despise poor people. We don't arrange our church based on how nice people dress because of camera. Are you listening? No, it's wrong. A brother can come into this meeting today, and he comes in here with the bedroom slippers. We don't tell him go to the back and tell a brother with three-piece suits to come forward, because when we take camera or when the cameraman flip his camera, then he want to see them. No, it's wrong. It's not right. It's not right. It's materialistic. That's not God's perspective. Someone that is rich in faith, you are despising the person. No, we don't do that. A brother can be wearing a bedroom slippers, and he comes into this place, and he has accurate word of knowledge. Was Joseph not in the prison when they called him to come and give Pharaoh a word of knowledge? It was prison clothes that he had. The best he could change to would be prison clothes. He shaved his beard so that he can appear nice. Yet, but at best, it wasn't the royal paralleled Joseph. He was Joseph coming from the prison. Yet, God's spirit was upon him. God's word was upon him. He is rich. Stop despising the brethren because they don't have material things. I think that's a message for some people here. Are you following this now? Don't look at people based on the way they look. Don't come into a place and say, well, this is just people, they are just struggling to put two and three together. What do you mean? The grace of God is upon them. His anointing is upon them. His word is upon them. We must never be despisers of a believer. The moment you discover that a brother standing before you is born again, you change your perspective and you start honoring the person because he's honored by God. Are you following this now? Rich and poor is not God's word. See where rich and poor start is the way we look at people, is the way we perceive them. It is, see, rich and poor or poor in the world, he says, does not the rich oppress the poor and draw you before the judgment seat? Which means that the disparity and dichotomy between rich and poor is the doing of men. Men love to have and keep having and never want to share with people. In a country that is working, there are things we pray for in Nigeria, sir, that you don't pray for somewhere else. There are things we pray for, light, all these things, that they don't pray for abroad. They don't pray for it in the UK. Their problem is not pain. Their problem is pleasure. They don't even know God exists. COVID, they were paying them. How many of you got COVID relief? Was it not voted for? Excuse me. Was it not voted for? There was a COVID relief. What do they call it now? Palliative. Did you get it? Were people not breaking warehouses to collect some things there? As wrong as that is, it shows you the wickedness of men. To take things and store it. They don't care. Eventually somebody will take it, bag it, or whatever they want to do. It's wrong. The disparity, dichotomy between rich and poor is a creation of man, not a creation of God. Where you have people that are fair, where you have a system that is fair and just, the average person in that system will be better than the poor person in Africa. Do you understand? So the rich oppress the poor because they want to keep having. Do you know that if you walk under a wicked boss, no matter how good you are, no matter how sharp your mind is, you know, we say, it's because you're not using your mind. That's why you are like that. See, brother, shine your eyes. Look at the problem you can solve. It's not true. It's not true. That's not the solution, no. You can have a first class, but you're working under a boss that will not pay you more than 30,000 naira. And you are living in Ikorodu, you are working in Festac. But you don't want to sit down at home. You go, come back, go, come. You know how much you would have spent on transport alone. Yet, you have a master's degree in economics. So it's not your head. It's that you are working under someone that is wicked. So Paul will encourage believers and say, masters, treat your servant well. Servants, serve your masters well. Because you've got to be fair. Poverty will exist in a system where the rich people determine. See, listen, rich people make policies. You know, until I went to NIPS, National Institute of Policy and Strategy Studies, you will not know the importance of policy in economy. Politics and governance, they are very powerful. Somebody says, after God, the next power on earth is government. They can ruin your life with one policy. See, in abroad, a businessman, they will come together. People that are as powerful as our businessmen here, they will sponsor a candidate so they can push a bill that will favor their business. Because they can do anything as far as a bill that is backing that business. Here, you don't care. You just wake up every morning and go around your business. There are people that are making policies. They make policies that favor them. They have things that favor them. They keep having. The rich keep having. The poor get poorer. Why? They just want to have. That's the dichotomy. It's not God. It's men. Men make people poor. Oh, are you following this now? Do you know? As long as you are working under a man, if it's not someone that is playing fair and operating by a law, if the nation does not have a law of equity and balance, And the person, like Africa, like Nigeria, if the person too does not respect the law, he will pay you less than minimum wage. And there's nothing you will do. Have a master's degree, you still earn the 30,000 naira. You will come to church and pray. And do you know, what God cannot do does not exist. It's not true. There are people that God will take 30 years to wait for them to change. You know how long it took you for God to change you. Men can resist God. God is powerful. He can do and undo, but he will choose not to undo. Because he wants your cooperation to work in your life. If what God cannot do does not exist, everybody will go to heaven. But God cannot make everybody born again by force. So people go to hell. The rich or poor is not the disparity created. It's not a dichotomy of God. God wants everybody to be okay. So he created the earth and put resources. See, let the earth increase to 14 billion people. The resources we need to live well, to survive, to thrive is here. But some men have bought lands on top of which there are goats. Mining is on exclusive lists in Nigeria. Do you know that? You can't enter into a place and just say, it's my mining field. No. Who do they sell oil well to? Who do they sell it to? Let me say this. No matter how brilliant you are, if you are working under a wicked boss, as long as you are earning salary, you will never be as great as your boss. Pray from now till tomorrow. It's common sense now, isn't it? I have put a lid. You can't go beyond it. Men will sit down. They call themselves HR. They call themselves human resource management. I'll be managers. You are here. Let's stay away from her. Before she throws stone. They say they are human resource manager. They will look at your CV. Look at your experiences. He has worked for 10 years. Okay, what he did for those 10 years, it's not too relevant, but we'll pick one or two. We'll pay 120. They determine it. They determine it. They will write a recommendation. See, the managers or the owners, directors of the company will make a decision. They will send to them. They will make a recommendation and send to you. Are they not the one that will recommend you for promotion? When your boss recommends, it comes to them. Do you understand? That's why. That's why when it comes to the favor of God, is engaging the consciousness of the anointing of God upon you in your relationship with men to make them treat you the way they should. Because they can decide whether you will go far or not. So rich or poor is not a creation of God. Did you see that now? It's not a creation of God. Clear? It's not a creation of God. God didn't create some people rich and create some people poor. Nor if you are rich means that you are spiritual. Means you know how to pray. No. It doesn't mean you know how to pray. There are many rich people around you. They don't even pray. They don't even, as a matter of fact, should I be saying this in the church? Permit the English. The badder you are, badder in quote, the more rich you become. Because marketplace doesn't play fair. Can't you see how people in the office are looking to take you out of your place? Everything possible. Men oppress others. They create a gap in a system. In a system that is egalitarian, where the government, you know, somebody was telling me about Australia, that if you own a business, the government will pay you. That this time that they're having issues because of fuel at Ukraine, Russia-Ukraine war, the cost of fuel has been sliced by half. He says he fills his tank with $160. Now he fills it with $52. The government is paying half. The half, they are paying it to the people that own the filling station, not through people that we first collect and sit on it for months and discuss and argue and fight and say, why the money is, why they are arguing? It's like 1. Something trillion naira for subsidy for all people that have filling station and gas plants. The money is in their bank and is increasing. They are collecting commission. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 1 year, 2 years, we're arguing, and it's okay, fine, we'll pay it. It has almost gotten half of the money, then they will pay. And when they pay, you are still going to do like this to collect it. And there is nobody to mamu or see. React is how rich and poor. Do you know the people that they are doing that? They have children, they have dependents, they have family, they have everything. Business is not flowing. They couldn't buy more fuel. They can't sell. They lock the filling station. Their children is suffering. Do you see the ripple effect? Rich or poor is not God's doing. It's man's dichotomy. Clear? Six? Good. Six, you don't give money to get money in the church. You don't give money to get money in the church. The more money I sow, the more money I will get. You know, do you know that the richest people in this world would have been believers if that is the case? I find an anointed man of God. If I give him money, my life will change. It's not true. I'm a pastor. You know what I'm saying now? I'm shooting myself in the leg. And if I'm on the other side, thank God you have a good pastor. I wouldn't be able to say this kind of a thing in all churches. Eh? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The more you give, the more you get in the church. Inside this church, it's a lie. Outside this church, it is true. Can I say it again?
Yes, sir.
The more you give, the more you get. In the church, it's not true. Outside the church, in the marketplace, it's common sense now. Put more money into your business. Put more money to buy things. Put more money. The more profit you can put on the product, the more you can get. Isn't it? That is. But in the church, when I give to my brother, I am in service. The church... That's why I read for you Matthew 21. Jesus sent out those that are sold, that transacted in the church. Why? Because the church is not a place for transaction. Marketplace is the place for transaction. So I go out there, I make money, but I come to church and spend money for my brothers in the church. If you make money out there in the marketplace and you come to church and all you are doing in the church is that you park your car, chip, chip, then you climb up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, you know, today's pastor's birthday. Well, I don't think we should give him a cake. Let's give him like 2 cakes. And then that's all you do and you go. I'm not in my church. Let me not use the language. You are the most miserable Christian. I would have said stupid. Because you cannot have money as a brother and come to your church and your church is suffering and you stay there and you say, no, well, I have given my tithe. Tithe for what? Until, see, a believer doesn't stop giving until the need is met. Tap your neighbor, say, are you here listening? Luke 6:38. Let's break Luke 6:38. So, what is he trying to say? Engage marketplace. That's what I'm trying to say. And while engaging marketplace, I'm trying to break some myth that we carry, some biases and prejudices. If I come and sow a fat seed, my business will thrive. It's not true. It's not true. Whatever giving you do in church is service. Out there, see, you can come give to your church. Who should you give to? You give to your pastor. And it's not something you should even be proud of. It's something that the Bible says you should do.
Yes, sir.
You should give to your pastor. You should give to your pastors. You should give to a brother in need. You should give to work of missions in your church. You should give to ministry work. The church is having a crusade somewhere. You should be the first. See, no good thing happening through this church that must pass you by, even if it's 5 naira, your money must be there. Why? Because you are a giver. But you are not doing it so that I say, you see that television? We bought it. You see the thing? No, we bought it. No, you are talking like a marketplace person. Don't carry marketplace rule and thinking into the church. Luke 6, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give to your into your bosom. For with the measure with which you meet, it says, whither you shall be measured unto you again. Do you know that this is not a character of God? This is not a scripture that you read to take offering. Are you with me? Let me show you why it is not. Go up. Verse 30. Give to every man that ask of you. And of them that take away your goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do to them likewise. For if you love them, which love you, what grace, the word thank, there's the word grace. What grace have you? For sinners also love them, love those that love them. Shetiri. Oh, church, are we together? Please pay attention. What do sinners do? Sinners love them that love them. Abby, what does believers do? Believers love them that did not even love them. That shows that they are child of God. Huh? Okay, look at 33. If you do good to them which do good to you, what grace have you? What thing? The word thing there is grace. For sinners also do the same. So who does give me, I give you? Huh? Who do, if I sow here so that I can get here, who does that? Sinners. Do you understand it? Who does give me, I give you? Sinners. Look at 34. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend. Eh? Hoping what? To receive as much again. See God's character. Love your enemies. God's character. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. For your reward shall be great. What's your reward? You are the children of the highest. That's your reward. Your reward is that. He now says, for God, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the what? To the evil. So God will never stop good from coming to you because you didn't come to thank him. Are we together? Ope lonjere, ope lonjere. Hey Jeba, hey Jeko Kere, ope no. The way you are thinking about it is not the way it is. God is not starved of thanks. So he said, come and thank me so that I will now give to you. No. God is good regardless of you. God is good regardless of whether you thank him or not. It doesn't change. He now wants you to be like that. Which means, in this church, you ought to be a giver. An aggressive giver. You never stop giving. Why? That's who God is. Whether you are recognized or not, he doesn't stop giving. Whether a pastor comes up and says, well, we want to thank God for Brother David, who just gave us about 5 million naira to do some things.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I hope Brother David will not bring the 5 million naira and say, Pastor, see, for the good work, your labor of love, this is, do you understand? That's how a believer does. He doesn't say, I gave him 5 million 2 days ago and he didn't say anything. He didn't acknowledge it. You know, I heard the story of somebody that said he sent money to his pastor, and the man was on the mountain praying. He didn't open his phone for like 7 days. The guy got offended and left the church. See, they acknowledge what he sent. Believers don't, in the church, inside the church, you don't give to get. Outside church, you give to get. Why? Jesus now says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give to you. For with the measure with which you meet, he says, whither it shall be measured. That is the character of men, not character of God. So it means, therefore, for me to have, in the marketplace, because marketplace is where transaction takes place, where buyers meet sellers, where I take value to. Therefore, I take value there so that I can get value. That one, there is no sin. It's not wrong. But in the church, I don't come give to my pastor so that I can get from him. No, I give him. Because the Bible says, they that labor over me in word and in doctrine. He says, and that they live well. The elders that rule well should be counted worthy of double honor. So when I'm doing that, I am doing what is right as a right son. Which among you here give to your parents, hoping to get from them? Abby? You take something to your parents and say, mommy, You see that when you do that, they will look at you and say, oh, my little mama, you. Jonathan, you come to them and say, mommy, egba. When you now give and say, hey, mommy, Sherry, you are just transacting. That's marketplace thinking. That's not church thinking. Are you listening?
Yes,
Claire?
Yes,
Amen. 7. Woohoo! I like when I look for trouble. Walk. Number 7. Walk. Number 7. Walk. Number 7. Please tell your neighbor. Number 7. Walk. Oh, it's work. Okay, say work. Anyone? Work, walk, walk. There's a saying in the book of elders. It's not in the Bible. It's in the book of elders. He says, and it is, and she. Timbogun. You don't understand it? There is a saying in the book of elders. You are in the church of a prophet, so receive understanding. He said, Logun, she. And it is, and she. Kima bogun. He says, Oroko kotosha. Oroko koto batala. He says, Orisha. Eh? Tingba ole kosi. Isha jeni ni muni jeun. Which means that the gods does not help somebody that is lazy. Walk. I believe God that my need will be met. Okari. Walk. The believer must engage marketplace. Walk. Don't she say? I told you in the first service, the church is as rich as the people walking in it. Excuse me. See, at least I've been in this thing for a small time. The small time I've been in this thing, I have seen people who will come to church. Hey, first timer. After a while, Pastor, sir, Pastor David, you know, can I see the pastor? Then you know, say, Pastor. Kilo de, madam, calm down. Madam, don't worry. Pastor David, please bring a kerchief. Two of my children are out of school. Say, ah. Oh. Two of them. Say, ah. Oh. They've not entered. Say, ah. Oh. But, you know, I don't know, sir. Whatever God can use you to do in our life, whatever God can use you to do. Then you now call, Mama, what do we have in our welfare offering? Then you now give them. You say, what are wajipu? Since does he have money? Do you know I went to that church? Do you know how much they gave me? People have been offended and leave the church because of welfare. Where their conquerability did not drive them to is to know that the money that they are asking for, people gave it. And it's the people working in the church that gave it. Brother, if you are not working, will you have money to give? Oh, Abiota. Today is factual Sunday. Straight talk. Straight talk. Go and walk. You are in Lagos. It's a commerce city of commerce. Walk. So we receive. Pastor will come here, he will declare, this week, God will bless you. Amen. This week, money will come your direction. Amen. This week, God will bring the right set of people. Those who now go out and walk will come back with sheaves. He that goeth out bearing precious seeds. It's not he that goeth out and put his hands on it. See, he says, a little folding of the hands, a little slumber. He says, let poverty come like an armed man. Why? Because you are not working. The Lord will bless you this week. You know, you are making the word of the man of God fall to the ground because you are not working. God will bless you. God will increase you. This week I declare that Lagos will respond to you. Wherever you go to, ni meeting kaka, who are you going to get favor with? Amen. No meeting. See, Pastor declare that I declare this week on the authority of the word of God, favor will follow you this week. Amen. See where they are thinking is going. Pastor, I've declared favor. I just be done. He has spoken. Then they now sit down. Then they now come. Nothing happened. Why? God, why? You are not doing anything. Work is not a product of sin. Before the man fell, he got a walk. Walk! Paul walked. Acts of Apostles 20. Look at Acts 20. Walk. When I got to Jossa, I had an HND, a master's, a PGD, and a BSc. And I was working in a place that if I tell you how much they were paying me, I used to go and light my candle. I'm not telling you home video. I used to go and light my candle, a candle from another place, and I'll use my hand to cover it to my house because I didn't have matchstick. But God says, go there. Jos has the highest point in Nigeria, 1,370 something above sea level. So we're on a plateau. God says, from here, you will spread down to the nations of the earth. I've seen it happen. But I got a word, and I engaged the word in work. Acts of Apostles 20, look at 34, look at 33. Acts of Apostles 33. Now this is Paul talking. Paul says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. That means silver, gold or apparel is good for you. But I have not coveted it. He says, you yourself know that with these hands I have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So why should a believer walk? He walk to meet his needs and the needs of the people around him. Olowo kan. You see, it is good when you walk. You are not working for yourself as a believer. You walk so I can meet your need and the need of the people around you. Because a believer is not stingy. See where Paul learned it. See, you yourself know that these hands have ministered to my needs and to my necessities and to them that were with me. Look at the next verse. The next verse, he says, I have showed you all things, how that by so laboring, you see, so what? Laboring. So what? Laboring. Tell your neighbor, labor. It's good. It's a scriptural word. It's an epistle word. It's not a New Testament word. Labor. The marketplace responds to labor. And the believer in the marketplace labors. He says, out of with these hands, where did he learn it from? From the Lord Jesus, who said it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's where he learned it from. He learned it from Christ, who says it is more good to give than to receive. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:8-9. 2 Thessalonians 3:8-9. So give. Marketplace respond to value. Marketplace respond to your hands. Marketplace respond to something. God gave me a word. Go to the city of Jos. He says, there I will send you forth to all the nations of the earth. And I have seen it work. I've seen it happen. From something that looked like a seed in my hand, I started engaging my seed. Let me make this a little bit practical. Did you know where the first place that you can start engaging people is in relationship? And that relationship starts here. The people in this place are the relationship. Because you see, like Pastor Gwinga said, you can't sell a land of 20 million when all your contact list, they are just 2 million naira people. But there are people that we know people. There are relationships that you leverage on in the marketplace. That they are brothers in your life and sisters. He says, neither do we eat any man's bread for naught. He says, for we wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. This is Paul talking about work. He says, not because we have no power to make ourselves, not because we have not power. He says, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow, us. So it's an example. This is Paul. He says, for even when we were with you, this we command, that if any would not walk, neither should he eat. This is Paul saying to the church, So what I'm saying today is not strange to the church. If you don't walk, he says, don't eat. Because there are brothers that could walk, but they are depending on other brothers that could not walk. It's burden. That's what he says, chargeable. The word chargeable there means burden. You make yourself a burden on other people where you can walk, but you're not walking. No matter how small it is, walk. If you can take care of yourself for now, it's okay. You've reduced the burden of the church. Huh? Look at the next verse. It says, for we hear that there are some that walk among you disorderly, walking not at all. They are busy bodies. Do you know that when you don't walk, he says you are disorderly? And then they'll be busy bodies. Say, hey, you know yesterday, and so mama, you know, I heard that mama has received promotion. Hey, say, ah, that means you know what comes with it. Hey, say, ah, pastor just bought a new car. Do you know pastor bought a new car? Say, hey, why souls are perishing? Pastor is about to buy a new car. Do you understand? I'm telling you. He says, look at pastor's shoes. They are broke shoes. Handmade, hand-stitched. Leather, solid one. Do you know how much my friend that sells shoes? I have a friend that sells shoes. So he has a friend that sells shoes. My friend that is not selling shoes. He said, I know my friend that sells shoes. Do you know how much he sells that shoe? Each of the shoes pastor wear, they are $250,000. Do you know what that? That has paid for my masters. Because they are not working. You that you wake up by 6 a.m. Thank you. 4:30 in Lagos. You wake up by 4:30. You are living in Festac, you are working in VI. Because I have somebody that is doing like that. I have someone that lives in Festac and is working at VI. And she leaves the house by 4:30 to make VI by 7:30. Because work starts by 8 in the morning. And then we close again and get back home by 8 or 9. This is your reality here. It's not a reality in Jos. In Jos, I can wake up by 7 o'clock and get to office by 8. I'll be fine. Do you understand? We're having some traffic now. But the point is that this is your reality here. Is that when you have time? When do you have time to be saying to see pastor's shoes? You're looking at time. You don't have time. But when you walk and you not have, what do? Eh? You give. That shows you're a Christian. See, Jesus walked. Mark 6:6, Jesus told us that Jesus is a carpenter. Jesus walked. Paul, Acts 18, he walked. Are you following this now? Paul walked in Acts. Acts 18, you see Paul, Acts 18, 1, 2, and 3, told us that Paul is a tent maker. Tent maker don't mean he's planting churches, so. Tent maker means a builder. That's why I say with these hands. You know, some people have turned that and say, we were into tent making ministry. Tent making ministry means that he worked with his hand. The Greek word there is builder. Builder. Paul, we build. He's a tent maker. They lived in tents those days. So he's a builder. That's why he told them in Acts 20, 34 with these hands. He's a builder engineering. So, he says video engineering, he qualified it. Acts of Apostles 18, 1 to 3, Paul walked, Apollo and Priscilla, husband and wife, they were tent makers. So the wife equally walked. Can I shock you further? I didn't shock you.
Daddy, brother to Fefe Miri, kilo ruko bayo ni.
Bayo carry you. Bene. Ise wo lo nse?
Sir, mo se pari NYC ni, so I'm trusting God that I will get a good job.
Oh, the Fefe mommy? No. You're not working. You can marry my daughter. She's a lady that worked 5 years in the bank, and you want to marry her? You want to marry her for her money? It's not true. Who is the breadwinner of the family? Anybody that is working. Yeah. Do you know that he that cannot feed, anyone that cannot feed his family is worse than an infidel? Check that scripture in context. 1 Corinthians 6. He's talking about the widow. He's talking about a woman. In context too. But when you read it, you will find out that he's talking about both male and female. If anyone cannot provide for his family. So you can have a lady. See, you can't feed me. You can't feed me. You can't be my husband. Look, sister. You are working. Your husband is not working now because life has happened to him. Be the breadwinner and stop telling everybody that you are feeding him. Are you listening? You know, sometimes you want to marry and they say, no. You can't take care of me. I want a guy that will take care of this. Me, I want a lady that can take care of this. Because you should be, we should, there is no, the breadwinner is the person working and bringing bread because he won the bread at the marketplace. But it's easier if you're a breadwinner, she's a breadwinner, we both brought bread to the table. No matter how small it is.
Love you, sir.
You can decide and say, well, me, I will work. You take care of our children. Then she's working. Because you have said that. But not that, look, no. Me, I will. Nonsense man. Stupid man. Lazy man. All your friends are working. You are not. You see, what are you bringing? 120,000.
Oh, come on, Jesse.
I'm earning. See, I earn 600,000 of my hard-earned money,
and he's telling me to bring it. Cafe sol
rent. It's a life case. I'm telling you. The life case of a guy who was in Ibadan and was doing well. He's a lawyer into real estate. Was selling properties, and then the wife got a job. Very good job with an agency. And they are paying the woman times 4 of whatever he's going to get. Like almost $1 million. He made the decision together. They said, we will relocate. So they relocated. When he got there, Abuja is different from Ibadan. He doesn't know much people and things and all that. And then the wife, Ofuju Erimobo. Pepe. She showed him Pepe. She's still showing him Pepe. She woke up one day and went to buy a car. Says her money. You are supposed. This guy was earning 65,000. She's earning 650,000. And she said, he's to pay the rent. He's to pay his fees. He's to do this one. He's to do that one. He's to. And the guy will cry and call me. Well, what do I do? I will just go back to Ibadan. Because she lack understanding. As a believer, you work to take care of your needs and the needs of those around you. When you marry, the factor change. You are in marriage to serve. See, the earth is the Lord. The Lord's and the fullness thereof. The lordship of Jesus is not in his ownership and control of a man's life. The lordship of Jesus is in the service he renders by the giving of himself. So every believer understanding of lordship of Jesus is not that he owned me. Is that he gave himself for me.
Therefore, I give myself for others. That's why Paul now says, use your liberty as an occasion to serve another, not a license for sin. Jesus' lordship is not in his control. Jesus' lordship is in his service. Remember in Mark, he says, who is greater, the one that sits at meat or the one that serves? He says, it's the one that sits at meat. He says, I came to you not as one that is being served, but one that serves. Which means greatness in the kingdom is not you getting people served. Give me this one. Give me that one. Do this one for me. Do that one. No. See, service, greatness in the kingdom is that you work, you have, you give. You are not going to get richer because you give to get. In look at Ephesians 4:28. No. You get richer because you give in the marketplace. You walk in the marketplace. You take value to the marketplace. You bring product to the marketplace. If you need consultancy advice, ask people. Ask. Go online, check, Google, check everything. Get information so you can improve your business. So you can increase your market perception and value. But when you make that money there, you bring it here for us to... I don't like this message. How can you say we should be sharing? That's what you do. Oh, I'm not saying don't save. Oh, I'm not saying don't invest. Look at this. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him what? Labor. So you see, labor is in the scriptures. Working with his hands, that which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. So you see, that when you work, you meet your needs, then you give to him that what? So you see a brother that has needs, you don't need to go and be praying in tongues before you say, oh Lord, touch my head so I can give. Touch my head so I can give. No. You give without them asking. Next is that, you see, what this means, it says, let him work that which is good with his hands. Which means, number, is it 8 or 9? There is no Christian job. See, Jesus walked, he's a carpenter. Mark 6:3-6, you see Jesus walked. Jesus is a carpenter. Erastus in the Bible, Erastus was a lawyer. Chamberlain of the city was a politician. People did all kind of job. In Titus 3:13, Zenas was a lawyer. Colossians 4:14, Luke is a doctor, was a doctor. 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander was a coppersmith. Paul himself was a tent maker. So they worked. Timothy, Silas, Priscilla, Aquila, they were of the same trade. They worked that which is good. You see different works. Do you see that now? Are you following this now? So somebody was a doctor. Someone was a lawyer. Someone was a politician. In Romans 16:23, Erastus is a chamberlain of the city. He's a manager. He's a steward. Matthew was an accountant. Do you understand? They did all kinds of work, that which is good. How do you determine which is good? Any work that is not contrary to your constitution as a believer. That's all. You know, some people say, don't be a lawyer because lawyers lie. It's not true. Don't be a politician. All politicians are liars. It's not true. There is no Christian work anywhere. Oh, I must do a job that is, I want to know the Holy Spirit tell me which job is the Christian job so that, you know, I will know this work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is that work with your hands. Glory! That's the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to work with your hands that which is good. So go get a job. Brother, go get a job. There is a brother that I know in Jaws. Who said he want to go into entrepreneurship? He has done it. He has the money that he has ruined is not less than 6 million naira in different business ventures. So I called him one day and I said, look, let me tell you something. You don't have the ability, the discipline. You know, we pray about it. We don't have the discipline. You don't have the discipline of an entrepreneur. There is nothing bad in you going to get a job. Nothing wrong in you going to get a job. Are you following this now? See, let me tell you this. I don't know if it, I believe it's the same thing in this city. The easiest work to get in any city is the work, is teaching job. The easiest job to get in any city is teaching job, and you will get. You will get. And it's not difficult if you're a graduate to prepare your lesson notes, prepare this, and get a job going. Are you following this? Please tell your neighbor, walk. Also tell the person, there is no Christian job. Walk. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we've learned that you don't give to get in the church. Now, let me say this quickly, you know, because of time. More money, if you want more money in the marketplace, increase your value through owning your skills, and the perception of the marketplace concerning your skills will change. You see, I believe when she joined a place of work, you weren't earning as much as you are earning now. And as an HR specialist, they will not promote a staff that has not increased in value. You may have stayed on the job, but you are not bringing any value to the table. You're a marketer, but you have not even brought anything for the organization that is of benefit. Especially banking. It's terrible. Where they will tell you to go and get, I don't know if they do it in Lagos, but they do it enough. I have people, you know, in Jaws, where they will tell them to go and get a job, get a deposit of 500 million. Huh? Like Sheku. It's not Lagos. We don't have big things like you guys have here. We have a fine weather. We have a lovely sight. Hills and rocks and mountains. And we are praying that God will soon take your pastor to come to our city. Relocate him. They are not saying amen. It's a lovely place. You don't stress. We don't stress ourselves. We don't calculate against traffic, towards traffic. We don't do all those things. You know? But the truth is, 500 million naira in a place like that, and the person will labor and cry, and sometimes they travel to Abuja, travel to other cities to get deposit to make up. As far as the organization is concerned, when they are doing appraisal, they won't promote you. You've not performed. You didn't meet your target. True of us. You didn't meet. Me, I know these things because I have them plenty. But when you own up your skills, your value will increase. Do you know you can enter into it? Do you know there's even disparity between HND, BSc? If you enter as a BSc, HND holder, they won't pay you as much as they will pay you if you're a BSc holder. Even if you study BSc Yoruba, and you have HND banking and finance, they will still pay the person more than you. That's marketplace perception. You can't help it. If you want to earn more, you will now either go and do a master's to top what you have, or you go and do another BSc to be at par. Do you know why I went to two schools? It's because at the time I was in HND, poly, the market is not favorable at all. I went to do BSc again. To change market perception of my value, of my worth. Unfortunately, you can say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. But as far as she's concerned, she gets there, you don't even know she's a pastor's wife. You are doing blah, 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 blah. She's looking at you. Choparito, are you done? Where is your papers? She look at it. Sorry, madam, I can't help you. And you're praying, oh God, touch her heart. And then she's praying, no weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper. Because that's the way it works. You want more money? Increase the value. Increase it. Sometimes increase in value where you are currently working means more certificates. Increase in value means meeting a target. Sometimes meeting a increase in value means learning new art, new skills. In our own organization, increase in value is more certificates, more experience, more certification, not more degrees. Do you understand? Because certification is field specific. It's skill specific. Not like they teach you so many things in banking and finance. No, you will find this one just in auditing. It's so when you come out, this certified system analyst and auditor. Aha! Yes. That's what we want. Then they say, this person is not higher than you. He will get more. Some organization, do you know why some people are working in some organization? They are schooling in some organization. When they finish schooling, they submit that, bam, they increase you. They change your level from where you were to where you should be. In the nursing and medical fields, I know that. The more you gain, more qualification you have, more you can, you know, if you're a normal nurse, I use that word loosely, forgive me. Normal, you're not normal, you're getting this because nursing is a lot of work. But let's say you are, again, permit the word, normal nurse, you're working in the world. If you increase your value, you become somebody that is a matron. From there, you understand, you keep increasing value because that's the way the marketplace think. They don't think church. Marketplace doesn't think church. Marketplace respond to value. And you follow this now. This now, I'm talking business in this place now. You now, you may have a value, but the world does not know your value. And you are praying, Lord, Lord, Gabriel and Michael, touch them. Let them begin to talk about me everywhere. They are not whisperers. They are not gossipers. The best marketed product, we will sell the best product. Marketplace respond to marketing. In marketplace, you must talk. Bang, 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 everybody come. Oh. Pop, 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 pop. Do you know that? You see one a bulky guy walking and he say, Akilonso. He catch your attention. It's marketing. Oh, I have missed being in this part of the world. Where every morning as early as 6 a.m. say, Ologi deo. Do you understand? I missed it. They don't do that where I came from. They don't do that. But they market themselves. They tell you what they are capable of doing. That's why we have some sites like LinkedIn, where you put your profile there. Where you, there's a way to put your profile in LinkedIn that somebody will read it, and will say, we need you. They'll be writing you. Yeah. You don't need to say you want a job. They will write you, I tell you. Yeah. It's a skill. There are people that will teach you how to do that. They make money from you. What's it called? They will teach you how to write your CV or profile on LinkedIn. Then you now go. They will write you. You'll be getting emails every week. Because it's an algorithm for recruitees. It's a software. And for other things that they put there, they integrate with LinkedIn, that we fetch everybody's data and cut it down to the skill set that they need. They will contact you. I know what I'm talking. I do that. I recruit for agencies. And as a pastor, I have sat on many recruiting board for state governments. I've recruited, and I can't tell you how many of them. And I sit there. They give us the criteria. Pray from now till tomorrow. you don't meet it, you don't meet it. I'm telling you. I know that there are still corners in Nigeria, but the one that I have sat on, if you don't qualify, you don't qualify. Because I just see it, I respond to value. But guess what? These days, I don't just respond to first class. I don't respond to 2-1. I check more. So when Pastor said that integrity can be the value some people are looking for, I tell you the truth. Any rich man you see, the people that are in his inner circle are not the smartest. They are the people he can trust. There are people that are looking for faithful, trustworthy people that they can call, because they don't even know what they have. They are looking for a Joseph. They are looking for a Joseph. Are you a Joseph? Or are you opportunistic? Ah, thank God. God has opened the door. Let me hit and run. Sometimes you are eating and running from what you should have come into fully. Joseph was a guy that Potiphar could trust, that he doesn't even know what he had. Do you know that Pharaoh doesn't even know what he had too? He doesn't know the worth of everything. It is the account that Joseph gave him. Brother David, Brother Paul, Brother John bought the land at 50,000. This one, see your money. He didn't know. It was what Joseph gave him. Integrity pushed Joseph forward all the time. When he went into prison the second time, from one place to prison, they committed things into his hands because they could trust him. All the time. Consistent. Consistency is one of the things we look for in HR. There's a guy that came and met me. That guy did me like this. He's one of the instrumentalists in church. He do me like this. Very inconsistent. And this was those days that the church was still struggling. It was the only keyboardist we had. He was going to get a job. He now came for my recommendation. He used me as referee. And I'm a pastor. Thou shalt not lie. I said, the brother is good. He's skillful. He's sound. He's this, but he's unreliable. Don't build a system around him. That's what I told them. So they told him that your pastor said this. So they didn't give him the job. He came to church. He said, I want to share testimony and collect my mic and said, we sat there like this. When he finished, I collected the mic and I preached. Years ago, many years ago. Then after that, I didn't say anything. He carried his Bible and walked out of the church. 2 years after, he came back again. And this time, when we saw him, we said, no testimony. He came down, knelt down, and said, look, I want to share my testimony. After that thing that happened, I went back and sat down, and I saw that I'm actually unreliable. Say, now I'm working on it, and my life is changing. Are you reliable? Are you trustworthy? Or are you another Nigerian looking for fast routes, cutting corners, just want to get your problem solved? Faithfulness is good, is a key. People that have money will give you their bank accounts, will commit their secrets into your hands because they can trust you. I want to call you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are just living a reckless life, to stop it. If you are not walking, you are living a reckless life. If you are not faithful, trustworthy, and committed, you are living a reckless life. If you have, and you are not giving in your local church, you are living a reckless life. If money is controlling your life and the need to always have and keep is what is controlling you, are living a reckless life. If you cannot give to the saints, to the ministers of God, to the people that God has given you, you are living a reckless life. There are some of you that God has blessed in a way you are comfortable. You are not there, but you are comfortable. But even your parents, you can't even remember them. You are reckless. One day you will have children. I want to call you to repentance and call you to order. You need to change. It's not the right way to live. Let God help you today and bring you to repentance. So you begin to do what is right. Marketplace only responds to value. Our prayer in church here will help us gain more access there. But it will not change the fact that if you don't take value there, you will always be poor. Let millions corner its way into your pocket. If you don't have something you transact in the marketplace, you'll be poor. It's not a cause. It's a matter of time. Father, we pray that your word will come alive in our hearts, bringing repentance, bringing understanding, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray that the marketplace will respond favorably to us. And that this week, goodness, mercies, we will enjoy like never before. I pray, Father, that the works of the hands of your people will be blessed. Their needs met. That their businesses will thrive. That, Lord, the right market, you will direct them and lead them into it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Can we appreciate God's servant?